like diamonds, I like stunning, I like shining, I like $1 million deals. Where's my pen? Bitch, I'm signing. I like those Balenciaga.
Hello and welcome to Weekly Beats, the podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the weekend music. My name is Charlie.
My name is Mark.
And this week on the show, we're getting into the latest from the hot new sensation. That's Cardi B and her debut album, Invasion of Privacy. Afterward, we'll turn our attention to the Billboard Hot 100, where we'll discuss the highest charting single on the week, which belongs to Baby Rexha and Florida Georgia Line. That unholy abomination will form the latter half of our discussion. We've got a bunch of other thoughts as well on some of the latest happenings in music, including a conversation on the current strife of one Kanye West, who's been all over the news recently. We'll get into it on the show. Mark, welcome to May. How you doing?
Oh, I feel great. I love May. It's my favorite month.
Yeah, the month of May, the lusty month of May.
Yeah, every single day I say, may the first be with you. And the next day I say, may the second be with you.
Yeah.
May the third
That's
be with
you. That's
how you do
it. Yep. You just run it all the way up till May the 31st be with you.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. I love running that joke for as long as possible.
Nothing is less annoying and more pleasurable than May the 4th jokes.
Yeah.
Man.
Do you ever drop a June the 1st be with you?
Nope.
No.
Do you ever do that?
I thought about it. I flirted with the idea, but I never committed.
Usually, by the time I get there, I say, June! I will like walk out of my apartment and I just scream it out.
Yeah. There's that great Broadway song, June is Busting Out All Over. You know that one?
Oh.
Yeah. There's a great song there. One of our college professors always posts that on the first day of June. And like clockwork, he'll do it again this year. I guarantee it.
Does that annoy you at all?
Yeah, it does. The song is not that great.
Well, I hope that they listen so they know that you think that's bullshit.
Yeah. Called them on it right here, right now. You know what else I'm calling out? Cardi B. No, I'm actually not really. But let's talk about Invasion of Privacy by Cardi B. It is the debut album from rap's hot new sensation. Mark, this album has garnered a litany of positive response from all manner of music outlets. Some going so as far as to say that she has joined the pantheon of great rappers with this album. She's included her previous mega hits, Bodak Yellow and Bardi or Cardi, on this one. But getting an entire album front to back, now you and I can give our full detailed thoughts on just who Cardi B is. So I gotta ask, Mark, what do you think of Invasion of Privacy?
You know, I feel like when sensation albums come out, there's always like two responses, which is to either like go with the sensation or to have some annoying like arms are crossed in the back of the room, I won't join your party kind of response. And so I'm kind of like, I hate psychologically responding to things rather than authentically. So I'm trying not to do that. But I'm having some trouble with this one because I feel that this album has very few unique and defining characteristics. And that Cardi B doesn't feel to me like an artist who is trying to stake her own unique claim in the rap scene or trying to like carve out some niche in terms of production or delivery. I feel like she just wants to be huge. And so you have like 13 tracks here, which are all a different type of huge. And I'm still kind of where I was when Bodak Yellow came out. I think it's fine. But it's really no better or worse than the artists she features on here, like 21 Savage or Migos.
Yeah, it definitely does feel of the modern era. And you know, you and I talked about Cupcake, another popular black female rapper, earlier in the year. And at least with her, you know, like, granted, her content is a strong R rating, but such personality and energy inside of her tracks. And I think that Cardi B definitely has a strong personality. She is the kind of person that is going to dominate in a room or on a song. We saw that earlier with one of the Billboard tracks where she was a feature and just dominated that song. Mm-hmm. I think she's got a definite cadence to her performance, a definite swagger. But I also wonder how much of that can be like moldable as an artist. You know, right. I think of someone like Lady Gaga. When you and I talked about Joanne a couple years ago, I lamented to the fact that, you know, even when Lady Gaga goes country or goes alternative, it's still the same Lady Gaga inside of that. And she is at her best when she is like full on theater production, makeup, lights, special effects going at it. And so when you strip all that production and aesthetic away, you lose the impact of her, and also she's still kind of that same person. So I feel like with here, you know, Cardi B is an aggressive, intense person and commits wholeheartedly to what she has to say. She sells what she says really strongly, which I think you can't say is true about someone like 21 Savage, or even Migos in a lot of cases. But I also wonder, I think like Get Up 10 is an interesting track because I like what Get Up 10 is trying to do, but I also think Get Up 10 exposes maybe some flaws in her delivery in some ways that she's maybe not quite there as an artist yet. This is the only song on the album that really builds to a point. All of the others are hitting their stride and staying inside of that for most of the track, you know, like your Bodak Yellows might. But with Get Up 10, she opens up in a much more introspective, slow manner, talking about, you know, her rise to fame, this idea that, you know, knocked down 9 times, but I'll get up 10, continually pushing through when things don't go her way. And so the opening lines are more subdued, quieter, but I also get the sense that they're disjointed and they weren't performed in the same session. There's a lot of overlapping lines that just feel like she would do maybe a couple bars and then she'd record the next couple bars and they'd slap it all together. So it doesn't feel as authentic like a performance. Mm-hmm. And when the climax hits, it's a good climax and it feels like it earns that moment and has more of an emotional journey than other tracks. But I also wonder just like, I don't know, in the space where she's performing this live, does it carry the same impact? Or is she just going to be that more vocal, aggressive persona like she is on the rest of the album?
You know what? I feel like she'd be way better live because the sense that I get from Cardi B in general, and this is, I'm going to be honest, this is the lens that I viewed this entire album through, is that it's her presence and her like personality, her media personality, her like fashion icon status that is actually like where the art of Cardi B is at its peak or where she's like most worth appreciating.
She's like a mogul status.
Yeah. But like, I think a true pop star, like I watched one of her late night performances and it was a million times. She was like on top of a pyramid. There were like men like kneeling down to her. She had this amazing outfit on and she was just performing the, you know, absolute crap out of her song. And like, I don't like the song on the record. Like I listen to it and it just flies past. But whenever I see her just be presentational, I love it. And I think the reason why is because even talking about Get Up 10 as a track where she has some clear like goal or message, Cardi B is not an artist that feels like she has anything she particularly cares to say. Like there's no, she has nothing to say.
Yeah.
I had trouble through each track figuring like, well, why are we here? Like what is being done here that I need to engage with it other than it's just good. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think the songs on here, in a lot of ways hit sort of cliche notes from other rap tunes, you know, something like, I like it, you know, let's get a classic Latin sample and just kind of talk about things I like. I shared with you a snapshot of the Genius Annotations where the opening Genius Annotation on the Spotify player says, this song is called I Like It. Cardi B is going to tell you about things she likes. And that's like the whole song. You know, it doesn't really go anywhere beyond that. Or something like Moneybag, which is definitely more in tune with the modern rap stylings. Through Your Phone, which is a classic tale of infidelity. There's not really a whole lot that's being brought to the table that hasn't been done by other people.
Well, yeah.
And in some cases hasn't been done better by others.
But that's the thing, though. Like, I think that's like two points there. First is that all of the people that she features on this album, the tone and style of the song changes drastically. So in Through Your Phone, it's Kalani who she features, right?
No, that's on Ring.
Oh, that's on Ring.
Which is
okay.
Another one about a phone. Yeah, it's about a phone, but it's not the song Through Your Phone.
All right, well, sorry, I'm going to go to Ring.
Same thing.
Let's talk about Ring.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Ring is a Kalani song. The Cardi B, you can almost hear Cardi B say, oh, we need like a Kalani track on this thing. And I was listening to an interview with her where she was talking about like someone had asked her if she agrees that she's the new queen of rap. And then she said, oh, no, no, like very explicitly said, oh, no, no, I don't care about that. I don't really care about being the queen of anything. I don't want to be the new, you know, like female, like Biggie Smalls or anything like that. I don't care about carving some new name. I just want to be very rich. And so I'm going to keep making music because it makes me rich.
Okay.
And that like sense of empowerment without even the slightest hint of hardship is, yeah, I think, satisfying for a lot of people, for a pretty good reason. But that doesn't mean this album, I think, is going to hold the test of time.
Right. Or even her as an artist, you know, where does she go from here? Is she just destined to release more stuff like this and she'll carry it maybe on her personality, but the quality of the music maybe isn't there, or she's dependent on the features to carry the sound of her album.
Right. And I hate being that guy because I think it's really cool that she's a sensation, and I hate being the guy in the back of the room, like I said before. But I don't really hate this album. I just think it's fine. It's the same with Migos.
Yeah,
like,
I think I'd say, yeah.
Any like sensation like rap artist who's like explodes and everyone's waiting for their debut and they come out and then the hype train already has arrived at the station. Migos, turns out, is one of the best rappers of the decade. This album is defining of the year. Or Ray Shremmerd.
Like Beatles in the City.
But then it turns out like they release another thing and then no one's there for it. And it makes me kind of question, like, when we're looking at these artists, are we being critical enough of what they have to say, or are we imprinting our own values and goals and judgments on them too hastily?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I mean, look at the media, look at social media, look at
the fake news
radio
media.
Play, the fake news media, all of them. Trust me, believe me, they are just all flawed.
We'll get into Kanye later.
Yeah. But yeah, you're totally right. I mean, I do the closer here with SZA on it. It is basically a SZA track.
You did the closer?
With
SZA?
I do.
Oh, you're doing SZA. It now? This is the closer?
Yeah. Wrap it up.
I do the closer.
Okay. Best Life feels like a coloring book outtake.
Yeah, totally.
right? Because it's got the same kind of like positive vibes, or it's like almost too convenient, right? I want to do a song that's positive, but also just have Chance the Rapper come in and do his coloring book thing here.
It just happens to sound exactly like Chance the Rapper's tracks.
I'm living my best life. Yeah, yeah. And I like that track. I think it's a good one because I like Chance the Rapper's coloring book. You know, it's like,
right,
if you like that other stuff, you probably like this stuff too. I think some areas where I have trouble are on the tracks more derivative from the modern trap scene. You know, I'm no fan of 21 Savage, so his performance on here is pretty flat. The Migos track Drip is not my favorite. But for me, nothing is as unlistenable as the track She Bad. This thing is like Soulja Boy level awful.
It reminds
like,
me of
the literally,
those first
I think it was taken off the thing. Yeah, right? Where it's like, play it, right?
Sure.
YG.
Straight from 2007.
And it just keeps going, man. That's like the first 30 seconds. It doesn't stop. And like when that's your bass resting spot, man, yikes.
Yeah, okay. When I listened to that first Cardi B mixtape, and I played a clip of it on the show, and I was like, this is atrocious. Like, I don't understand. Like, this is not Bodak Yellow. Bodak Yellow I just didn't dive into, but like, there was a sort of mystery in my head, like a question, like, okay, maybe Cardi B will come around and like with some money and some more time, like with a budget, she'll come out and like the ideas that maybe she wasn't able to capitalize on in that mixtape, like will be glorious and like shining into the sunlight on her debut. Right. But I also kind of question, like, how can an artist of any kind feel that a song of that quality is acceptable, even if it's on a mixtape? And yeah, yeah, this reminds me of that. Like, it just feels like she's totally writing whatever is popular of the moment. And then just kind of, I don't know. I don't want to be too much of a hater on it because I didn't hate it. I just, I can't see it.
Well, and it's like, you know, certainly that idea of, hey, I don't really care how it sounds, I just want to make money, has more or less defined pop music for the past, you know, 50 years. That's at least some of the popular artists have that belief, whether they admit to it or not. But her openness in coming forward and just saying, no, I just want to be rich, like, does that make it easier to digest, or is it maybe make it more difficult to swallow? I don't know.
I think it does, because she is a woman of color who came from no money, and like verifiably so. Like, you know, she talks about being a stripper a whole lot on her on this album. But there is something like deeply satisfying about seeing someone like just rise through the ranks and do something creative. And like, you know, not to say that like being a stripper is in any way like a you know, you do what you want, like get paid for doing what you like, no problem. But to see someone like truly have like real power, like to have actual wealth and be rich and be on television and have like a crazy art performance piece, that's cool to see. All of that doesn't mean I have to like the debut album though, because it's got tracks like She Bad on it, and I'm not there for that.
And I would say, you know, I don't think she is untalented. I think she has a swagger and an ability to come up with some interesting rhymes that are oftentimes creative. You got some cool wordplay in there. I think, especially compared to the other modern trap rappers, she's miles above them, much more in line with the cream of the crop out there today. And so I think a lot of folks have obviously brought the comparison between her and Nicki Minaj, and I think Nicki's starting to feel the pressure. She kind of had this scene on lock, at least as far as, you know, being a major pop star. And I think we're due for some new music from her later on. It'll be interesting to see how she responds.
From Nicki Minaj, you just said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to like too like closely every time there's like a successful black woman that we then compare the other successful black women like too much.
Right.
Because I honestly don't feel like Cardi B is like that close knit with Nicki Minaj's career. Nicki Minaj feels like a true, like, you know, not to overtalk that verse on Monster, Kanye West Monster, but like, I don't think Cardi B would ever produce a verse like that. Like, yeah. Nicki Minaj is a different kind of talent. Mm-hmm. Less of a pop star, more of a straight up, like, I don't know, like, artist, I guess. That sounds pretentious, but.
Well, in the way that Nicki Minaj has a cohesive artistic vision of who she is and what she represents. Yes. So it's like, you know what a Nicki song is probably going to sound like, but she might change it or modulate it in some cool ways. I don't really know, and I mean, granted, we've only got one album, but I don't really know what a Cardi B song sounds like that differentiates her aesthetic from other folks, aside from being, I don't know, aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's Bardier, Cardi, and Bodak Yellow sound extremely similar. She sounds extremely similar on them in such a way that she's just so barely present. And like, you could mistake one track for the other enough. I don't know. I think a Cardi B track is mainly like whatever's really popular at the moment. And then she's doing that thing over top of it.
Yeah. Hey, that's good marketing, man. You'll see a lot of airplay that way.
I mean, clearly. And I will say that every instance of her on an album cover is incredible.
Yeah.
Or in a concert. Like, she is maybe the coolest figure in fashion of the moment.
Mm-hmm. So you're digging this album cover?
It's amazing to look at, isn't it?
Yeah. It's bold.
Yes.
Yes.
Or even like the Bruno Mars single. Like, she just looks great constantly.
That's cool.
Although, speaking of Nicki Minaj, I don't know if you saw this, but Nicki Minaj did release a single called Chun-Li, where she has Chun-Li's buns, and I am so about that.
That's what you're really into.
I'm living my best life. Yeah, yeah. I'm living my best life. Made a couple M's, you know. I said, I'm living my best life. I said, I'm living my best life. Made a couple M's with my best friends. Turned on my L's and my lessons.
Coloring book.
That is coloring book. I think the worst part is when she doesn't feature an artist, I would argue she actually sounds corny.
Yeah.
Get Up 10 is a corny track.
Yeah. How do you feel about Moneybag?
Moneybag.
It's Bodak Yellow.
Yeah, it's Bodak Yellow.
That's just Bodak Yellow again.
Yeah. She's doing that thing. Aggressive songs about money.
But her tenor is identical. Like, literally, it's like the same notes.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, we do get a glimpse of a different performance on the openings for Get Up 10. And I like the way it builds, but it also feels insincere. Like, it took it a number of tries to get that, right? Like, she can only be this kind of person that she is on this album.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how far her career goes. You know, certainly back in 2007, people were welcoming Soulja Boy as the new voice of a new generation that was going to lead us on to the promised land. And then he kind of crashed and burned. So.
Or Migos even. Right?
Yeah, sure. That was, I mean, what, less than a year ago now at this point? No, 2 years ago.
I would argue that she's going to be around much longer.
Yeah. Well, she's married to one of them, so.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. But I think she, because she is so flexible with her image and her music, she can kind of be anything. And I think her performances are amazing. Like, she's already crossed over to television in a way, like, where I would imagine most of my, like, say, cousins know who Cardi B is. Like, they are aware. Whereas I feel like they might hear Migos and go, oh, I'm not sure. Is that this? You know?
Sure.
I think she's got a shot to stick around for if she like gets enough variety in terms of tracks and tunes, and even if she just sticks with the rap game and doesn't go too far into the pop territory, I think she could be around for a long time.
Do you think that people are more likely to know who she is just because there are so few black females in the rap game as compared to the amount of black males that are?
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, we're all about diversity. We're all about equality, and it's great that she is a part of the scene. And like I said, I don't think it's undeserved. I think she definitely has a talent and has a swagger and a personality to her. I just don't know how well developed it is at this point and how well developed it could become. I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah. It's fine. It's all fine, Charlie. Yeah,
I agree. I was not offended by any song except for She Bad.
Yes, agreed.
Even then, you know, hey, it's a pretty short track, so it's fine.
You know, and not only that, but I believe it might not be in the track Best Life, but she does have one verse in there, one specific line that I thought was genuinely a mind blower that made me think she does know, she has more up her sleeves than I'm giving her credit.
Do you remember what it was?
Yes, it's the line where she says that she is like a combination of Machiavelli and a Little Caesar's pizza because she's hot and ready.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That is like the funniest thing I've heard in a rap song in like all year.
Yeah, that's good. That's what we're looking for. Yeah. More of that.
Great, great stuff, Cardi. Great stuff.
All right. Well, let's go to the highlight reel. It's going to be just the one for me, but it's going to be Best Life featuring Chance the Rapper because I like Coloring Book.
You like Coloring Book a lot. I get you. I'm there.
And I want some more Chance the Rapper in my life, man. What's that guy up to recently?
You know what he's up to? He's trying to calm Kanye West down on Twitter.
He's like, oh my God, I can't believe I got dragged into this.
Chance the Rapper is doing his best.
He's a good friend.
He's definitely a good friend. It's getting him some trouble, but he's doing his best. I'm taking Best Life as well.
Yeah.
Because I also like Coloring Book. But
right.
You know what? I like Bodak Yellow enough, I'll throw Money Bag on there because I'll have another Bodak Yellow for the year 2018, sure.
All right. You took Bodak Yellow last year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's Invasion of Privacy. Before we cut to break, Mark, we got to talk about the elephant in the room. Chance's good friend, Kanye West.
Oh, man.
Is,
you couldn't have chosen a more perfect choice of words.
Wow. He's going through some stuff right now and just trying out, you know, where he is in the world, seeing where the walls are. We are on the precipice of a new album, supposedly, as he announced through Twitter, but... You know, things change in the past, and we thought we were going to get Life of Pablo a year before we actually did. So like I've said, I'll believe it when it's in my ears. But for right now, Kanye West has been tweeting out a number of thoughts, aligning himself with the agenda of one Donald Trump, and saying that he truly is going to make America great again, that it's not just about some empty thing. He truly believes it, and that means forgiving everyone. He has tweeted out photos of the plastic surgeon who killed his mother. Well, not killed, but like died under his watch, and said, like, this is the album cover for the album. And the album's going to be called Love Everyone. Like, he's going to some weird places, man.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, like, a lot happening. I can't imagine anyone listening to our podcast doesn't know about it. Like, if you have somehow stumbled into the 25-minute mark of Weekly Beats that are not aware of the Kanye West situation, like, good on you. What life are you living? But I actually think it's even more worse and more complicated than you suggest, because I have been, like, feverishly keeping up with this situation. I think I'm one of many Kanye West fans who felt in some way heard or inspired by his music back in the day, and was, like, immensely disappointed to see someone that you follow so closely or care about their work so much to be just totally, like, vacant intellectually. 'Cause it's not just that he is, like, a Trump voter. It's not just that he is a conservative, which would be, like, their own things to contend with. It's that he tweeted out a video of the guy who makes Dilbert, who suggested that it's actually black people. If they had only thought out their way out of slavery, like, if they had just inspired themselves to not be slaves, they wouldn't have been. And that was, like, kind of where everything blew up. And he supported Candace Owens, who's an alt-right lunatic. But I don't know if you've seen this, because this is fairly recent.
This is breaking.
This is yesterday. Yes, this is practically breaking upon the time of recording. But he took Candace Owens to TMZ. Did you see this?
I did not.
Yes. And he explained to one of the TMZ hosts, and I pray you watch this video, because it is something else to see Kanye West explain to another black man, that how were slaves for over 300 years? That sounds like a choice to me.
Hmm.
That's a thing Kanye West said.
Hmm. New slaves.
Yeah, how did old you get slaves. How did you get here?
Mind slaves.
How did you get from that to this? Oh, so he says that, and then some guy, I don't know who the guy is, I'm not close enough to TMZ, I don't know TMZ, some guy stands up and then says it's not that people are mad at him for having new thoughts. It's that they're mad at him for having absence of thoughts. It's that he lives in some ivory tower where he's really rich and doesn't have to deal with the real problems that people have listened to his music to be inspired by to get out of.
Yeah.
And then Kanye West started apologizing for hurting him. And then today, or late in the day yesterday, tweeted out a false Harriet Tubman quote that says she would have freed more slaves if they had only freed their own minds.
Poof.
There's, like, a lot. There's a lot there. So I don't want to, like, put this too heavily on, like, the political, like, Trump thing. It's, like, a total delusion, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's just... And the new album's coming out. We're starting to get some tracks, Mark. Have you listened to any of these tracks?
I have.
Oh, man. No.
You seem real weird.
Did you listen to E vs. the People?
I believe that was the one I listened to. Yeah,
starring T.I. as the people.
Oh my god! And then listening to the interview with or the conversation with T.I. where he's like, "Hey, I just feel like this is a little much." Like having T.I. be the guy like explaining ethics to you. There's just like so much happening in that video that I can't even fathom what's going on.
I think, you know, 2010, Kanye learned that his impulsiveness was rewarded. You know, like the fact that with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, when he came out and just said what was on his mind and was brash and abrasive and people adored it. And he's like, I got to do some more of that. And it's continually just like gone down this hole. And we saw it, like you were getting nervous around Life of Pablo 2 years ago. And you're like, this is the first time I'm genuinely scared for his mental stability. And I think this is where we're headed now. The trajectory has kind of followed that path. Here's just a little bit of Ye versus the People.
I am crossing, turn my dreams into Obama was 7 cents. But ever since Trump won, it proved that I could be president.
Yeah, you can, it would call though. Don't get going against the teachers and yay talk, folks.
Yo, Tip, I hear your side and everybody talk though. But ain't going against the grain everything I fought for.
Probably so, yeah. But where you trying to go with this? It's some shit you just don't align with and don't go again.
You just reading the headlines. You don't see the fine print. You on some choosing side shit. I'm on some unified shit.
It's bigger than yourself as a gender. If your election ain't gonna stop police from murdering niggas, but shit.
Bruh, I never ever stop fighting for the people. Actually wearing the hat to show people that we equal.
You gotta see the vanity.
So, I mean, like you said, politics aside, just getting into the creation of the song, that comes across as a madman just telling you his, like, stream of consciousness thoughts. There's a sample in that thing, but in no way does his performance line up with the beat. T.I. seems confused at what he's saying. Like, it is so underproduced. And if this is one of the tracks from the supposed upcoming album, I am so scared as to what he's about to put out.
Yeah. It's also like the ugliest reggae beat I've ever heard.
It's just like, it's busy and it's chaotic and it's unfocused.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, honestly, dude, I have been bringing up in conversation with people. Like, I went on an old internet forum that I haven't visited for quite literally like a decade, just for fun. And I was like, oh, my account's still active. I'll see what's going on there. And it's just all people are like, I'm so bummed about Kanye West. This is so sad for me. Like in all conversations like that, like, even in that space, I'm always like, you know, like there's always this sense he is recovering from an opioid addiction. He's, I think he's clearly suffering from some mental health issue, maybe as a result of that, maybe from like constant public pressure. I don't want to diagnose him now.
Sure.
But I'm honestly kind of off that game now. I think it's just his complete privilege. Like, it's just his status as this, like, no one will ever say no to this guy. Like, he just has infinite power. And I think part of the reason why those albums are good is because he has enough people sort of like steering his, like, really out there, like, really cool musical ideas sort of, like, more tightly into a palatable song, right? Like, Kanye is what makes the song great and special, but he always has people around him to also make it listenable.
Right.
And without that, you end up with, like, this confusing political rant over top of a reggae tune that sounds like it's, like, through 2008 auto-tune. It's so weird and confusing.
Would you say that no one man should have all that power?
I would, you know what? There's a great Kanye lyric just for Kanye.
Yeah. It's like Kanye criticizes Kanye all over again.
Yeah. That's been the Twitter meme for sure, as I miss the old Kanye.
Yeah.
A couple choice quotes too that I do just want to throw out there because I think they're incredible is that a lot of people have been bringing up the fact that he tweeted out fairly recently that he doesn't believe in reading books because his reading is living.
Mm, yeah. Makes sense.
And also, this is actually the one where my whole opinion of the situation changed, as he tweeted out, I don't want to say I'm conservative. I don't really know what that is. I have to do some more research.
Mm.
So this whole conversation about him wearing that hat, he actually doesn't know what Donald Trump is doing. He's not paying attention to politics. Any conversation about this has to be removed from what his political beliefs are, because he responded, if I run for president, it will be a Trump-style campaign, but with Bernie Sanders-style politics. He doesn't know what that is. Like, no. Let's just be frank.
He's just speaking.
He doesn't. Right. He's obsessed with the idea that he's an outlier. Like, he read The Secret and he's obsessed with it or something. Yeah. So
I love the one tweet he sent out. He's like, after my breakdown, parentheses, or as I like to call it, a breakthrough.
Yeah. God, that's so... Yeah. I also, I have one more idea to introduce this conversation is the conversation about Kanye should be ongoing, and it is extremely disappointing. If you feel disappointed by this guy, I see you. It sucks. But someone who I think has been made, in my opinion, to be almost unredeemable is not Chance, who came out and defended him and say, well, why can't he be conservative? And then clarified, no, I think that stuff is terrible. I'm trying to help my friend.
Let me be clear here.
Yeah. Like, he's literally just in a horrible situation defending his friend. Like, don't, have people get destroyed in Kanye's wake. The person I think is actually irredeemable is John Legend.
Mm.
Did you see the John Legend tweet?
No.
So I have it in front of me here. So Kanye's been just posting screenshots of his phone, and he seems like he hasn't used the internet before. It's all very confusing, but here's what John Legend has to say. The conversation starts halfway through. As you know, what you say really means something to your fans. They are loyal to you and respect your opinion. So many people who love you feel so betrayed right now because they know the harm that Trump's policies cause, especially to people of color. Don't let this be part of your legacy. You're the greatest artist of our generation. And then Kanye responds, I love you, John, and I appreciate your thoughts. You bring up my fans or my legacy is a tactic based on fear used to manipulate my free thought. And then John Legend responds, think freely. Think with empathy and context, too. Your words and actions have consequences. Much love. And then follows it up with, and since you're posting texts, let me add that I have a new single out. Ha ha.
Oh, man.
Like, just truly disgusting. No matter, I refuse to forgive John Legend for that gross moment.
Yeah. You don't think
he's
like
using this like clear breakdown
right.
to try to like advertise a single.
And maybe just to get like his perspective, you don't think maybe he's just trying to like put a little bit of humor in there and say like, I know, man, I know what you're up to. Let me just crack a joke with you and try to break the tension here because I'm feeling something coming from your side.
I honestly, I can see that.
Yeah.
Charlie, that's a great point. However, I think you have to be so aware as John Legend, who I think is very brand aware,
yeah.
that Kanye is posting these things on Twitter.
Well, yeah.
For a political purpose and being like, but I think like, so that joke is also not just for Kanye. Kanye's not the one seeing that and then laughing. We all are like shocked and horrified and then have to deal with like John Legend to the masses going, haha, also buy my album. It's just like very tone deaf.
Right. America in the 2018, man. Welcome.
I still will vote for him. I hope he runs.
2024, he's saying now.
Could it be too soon in 2020? Is that the idea?
Too much effort to get it all together. We got an album coming out, man.
Oh, man.
Well,
did you see Jordan Peele talking about
this? No, I didn't. You've been way more abreast of the situation than I have.
Oh, for sure. Every single day.
You're getting the notifications on your phone, all the updates.
Because I've never seen, like, people are calling him out in this way that I'm like, that is so smart. Like, I feel like there's, like, cultural things happening now that go beyond Kanye, but... people have been accusing Kanye West of being in the sunken place because he posted a picture of himself in the MAGA hat and he looks just dead. Like he looks like someone Weekend at Bernie'd him.
Yeah.
Did you see that photo?
Yes, I have.
It's horrible, right?
Right.
So Kanye responds to people saying he's in the sunken place, from that photo by saying, does this look like the sunken place? And he tweets out a picture of this like marble hallway that costs clearly millions of dollars where there's nothing in it. There's no pictures. There's no life. It's just this like cold, dark hallway. And that clearly is a result of wealth. And then Jordan Peele tweeted, immediately gets inspiration for Get Out 2. So, hey, maybe something good could come out of all this.
Kanye West is the mastermind behind the sunken place. Cool. Well, also not cool, but what are you going to do?
It's hard. Yeah.
We'll take it as it comes. Certainly there will be more to follow and we'll keep you updated. And we're due for a Kanye album in June. That's what he says. So we'll see if it happens. I think it's time we take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to you about the latest Billboard single from Baby Rexha and Florida Georgia Line. So stay tuned.
But ever since Trump won and proved that I could be president. Yeah, you can, and what it called, though? Don't they go against the teachers and yay talk, folks? Yo, Tip, I hear your side and everybody talk, though, but ain't going against the grain everything I fought for. Probably so, yeah. Well, where you trying to go with this? It's some shit you just don't align with, and don't go again.
All right, we are back and ready to get into the latest from the Billboard. This week, it's Florida Georgia Line and Bebe Rexha, Meant to Be, which is the closing track on Bebe's 3rd EP, All Your Fault, Part 2. And Mark, if you don't have this thing pulled up on your Spotify, please take a look at this album cover. It is just wonderful. Supposedly, it's the lead single from her debut studio album, Expectations. It is a country pop track with a K-Sara-esque message.
Que sera, sera. What is the song title again?
Meant to Be.
Meant to Be. By Florida Georgia Line? I don't see it here.
You should look under Baby Rexha.
Oh. Hold on. Oh, wow. That's a bad photo.
Yep.
That's a... How expensive was it to take that terrible photo?
Probably not very. That's why it's an EP. So you should just take the feeling that you have right now by looking at this picture and mm-hmm. just internalize that, because that's exactly how the song is going to make you feel.
Nice.
Here we go.
Baby, lay on back and relax. Kick your pretty feet up on my dash. No need to go nowhere fast. Let's enjoy right here where we at. Who knows where this road is supposed to lead? We got nothing but time. As long as you're right here next to me, everything's gonna be alright.
Oh.
30 seconds exactly. It's mathematical. Oh, I hate it.
We're like the InfoWars of the Billboard.
We're exposing the conspiracies behind the creation of your modern favorites.
Yeah.
There is no worse country artist, maybe no worse artist alive today than Florida Georgia Line. And I will sign those papers. I will agree to pay X amount of dollars that you request. I absolutely despise everything that these guys represent.
Everything they represent, even Florida, everyone's favorite state?
Yes. Northern Florida is the worst. Northern Florida is as bad as all of West Virginia.
Wow. I agree. Yeah. And I've never been there.
Right.
Wait, where's Universal in Florida?
That's like Orlando. That's like Central.
Okay. Well, I've been there.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that either. So probably it's terrible all around.
Most of Florida. But these guys have made their career on trying to find some line between country and rap.
Right.
And the production value is sickeningly overproduced. They have no personality. The simplest rhymes, always singing about, you know, some garbage relationship. It's always the same variation. I just absolutely loathe everything these guys stand for.
Well, that's cool. I have to say, for me, that first 30 seconds, like anytime we do one of the 30 second breakdowns, I have to like consciously go like, all right, time to like, let's think hard. Like, let's be in this 30 seconds. Like, let's figure out what's going on here so we have something to say. And I was in that state of mind. I have my coffee here. I'm alert. I'm ready. And then the second that song kicked in, my mind went blank and I checked my phone. Like, I forgot what we were doing. Like, yeah. My mind is so trained to avoid this type of music that I, even when I'm trying my hardest, can't engage with it.
The opening line, baby, lay on back and relax. Kick your pretty feet up on my dash. No need to go nowhere fast. Let's enjoy right here where we at. Annotation. The speaker is saying not to worry about the future, but enjoy the present.
Oh, nice.
Ashley Jr. says, after reading this little sentence, made me realize that this is right. Just relax. Don't worry about the future, but enjoy the present. Make sure to cherish the moments that you needed to be before moving on to accomplish the new chapter in life. It's like someone ate motivational speaker's speech and then like threw up all the words again, and they were like mostly there but just not quite in the right order. Like, you could see some semblance of it, and if you read it fast enough and didn't think about it too much, it'd be okay, but not really.
It's also like, how much meaning can you really imbue with just kick back and relax for a second?
The next slide, who knows where this road is supposed to lead? DJ Marxamillion says, it's sort of a play on words, a double meaning. We know from earlier in the song that they are hanging out in this truck. So it seems that it could mean the actual street they're driving on, but also it means the direction the relationship is heading.
Oh, that underneath hurts.
Underneath that, Aria Rose 121 says, it could be, but I'm not so sure.
I'm really upset for myself. Oh no, Charlie, this actually makes me sad. Oh, that's so good though.
Also, the comma goes on the wrong side of the butt, so double whammy.
It could be butt. I'm not so sure.
It could be butt. I'm not so sure.
That is the most obvious and, like, intellectually, like, light diagnosis. Like, of course that's true. Like, you don't even have to say it out loud. It's so obvious right. that that's what's happening. Oh, man.
I don't know about that. Oh, slow your roll there, but I think we're going to take it very literally.
All right. Why don't you pay attention to the lyrics in the first verse and kick your feet back a little bit. I think we're going too fast here.
All right. Let's keep going.
Won't you ride with me, ride with me? See where this thing goes. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, if it's meant to be.
I don't mean to be so uptight, but my heart's been hurt.
Not perfect anymore, Charlie.
I was so close. I was counting down the seconds like, oh man, it's going to hit it again, but it doesn't. Is that the limpest chorus you ever heard in your entire life?
That's definitely a limp chorus if I've ever heard one.
Oof, man. I don't understand how this has gotten so popular. What's to hold on to? It's just slippery. It just falls right out of your hands. It's ethereal. It's a part of some unseen dimension that passes through you and you don't even realize it does.
You're saying within the Florida-Georgia line, the theory of relativity is contained.
The song is Skim Milk.
It's like, have you ever heard this recording, that recording of the two black holes colliding?
No.
It was the theory. I'm so stupid. I'm sorry. But that was a real thing that happened. We were able to pick up on like the frequency of two black holes colliding, like, you know, however many extreme distance away. And it proved like a famous, I think it was the theory of relativity, correct, right?
Sure. I don't know.
So when you listen back to how the machine spits back the frequency, like the most, you truly, can you imagine a bigger event than two black holes colliding and just creating like nothing in their wake? Yeah. And you listen back to it and all it sounds like is like, and like a beeping kind of noise.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel, like that's what this is, right? It's just like the pure, it's such a huge absence of anything that it just kind of goes in you. I don't know. It's a destructive force, and I think it needs to be stopped.
Well, unfortunately, Mark, we still have a minute and 44 seconds to go.
Couple times by a couple guys that didn't treat me right. I ain't gonna lie, cause I'm tired of the fake love. Show me what you made of. Boy, make me believe.
Whoa, hold up, girl, don't you know you're beautiful? And it's easy to see.
If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be.
Though that was a mind blower, though. Did you catch what she said there?
No.
Let's break this down ourselves.
Okay.
I don't mean to be so uptight.
Mm-hmm.
But my heart's been hurt a couple times.
Okay.
By a couple guys that didn't treat me right. So what's she saying there, do you think?
I'm sorry that I'm coming across as a bit nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry I'm being a woman. I'm sorry about women. I'm sorry for women.
Okay.
But my heart's been hurt a couple times by a couple of guys. They didn't treat me right.
Right. So she's being reserved, right?
Yeah.
She's like, listen, men have lied to me to be with me for their own selfish reasons. And
do you mean like lie, like in the biblical sense? Like they have lied with me?
No. Well, yes, both.
Mm.
Yes, both. This is what this, there's a lot to break down here.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if it's both, Mark. I think it might be one.
Listen, we've already brought up the Bible. This is good. So she's being reserved. She's like, okay, I'm taking things slow because I'm afraid of being hurt. I'm afraid you're just using me for sex or just for the sense of having me as your partner. And so Florida Georgia Line, her collective boyfriend, comes back with all of that emotion and goes, oh, hold on. You know you're hot? Like,
it's easy to see.
They have embodied their own stereotype. It's a beautiful moment of clarity where we truly, they are revealed to be assholes. That's good.
Wow. Never before has a song more accurately captured that sentiment.
Isn't that what's happening there? Like, isn't that, why is that the response to her verse?
Because they didn't think about anything and just slapped the first thing that came to their mind into a song and said, I don't know, put this on the radio.
It worked.
We're already halfway through it.
Well, that's just a blessing.
This is number three. It's Drake and this people. I don't understand.
I mean, I've been listening to that Drake track all week. I mean, it's
yes.
great.
Summer vibes, man.
Yeah, just when Kanye's blowing up, Drake's here to say, don't worry, I'll be Kanye for you for the summer. I got you.
We got it, guys. At least this summer, we're okay.
Yeah, that is truly, like, truly the battle of, like, racism in America is happening between that Drake track and this Florida Georgia Line track.
And Canada.
True. Because Drake, you're right.
Because Drake, yeah.
Maybe we don't. She's trying to stop this. She's literally like, maybe no. Oh, man.
Gender dynamics in the year 2018.
He's like, listen, just let it happen. Maybe we will. She says, no, maybe we won't. That's so good. Okay. Did you read any of the annotations? Because we have another dissenter in the Genius crew.
Okay.
For the line, I don't mean to be so uptight, but my heart's been hurt a couple times by a couple guys that didn't treat me right. Annotation reads, when All Your Fault Part 1 was released, which was months before the release of All Your Fault Part 2.
Baby literally Rachel, months.
Quite literally months. Not a year. Not weeks. Months. Baby Rexha posted this on Twitter. My ex blocked me on everything. Guess he heard I wrote a whole album about him. Maybe he'll learn not to break up with a girl through text. In an interview on the Elvis Duran show, everyone's
who the hell is Elvis
favorite
Duran?
Show.
Is she thinking of Ellen DeGeneres?
Yeah. Hey, Elvis, love the program. With the dancing puppies or whatever. She revealed that her boyfriend of 18 months, oh, don't count the months, Baby Rexha, not on live TV, broke up with her.
This is Elvis's show. She does what she wants.
Elvis, no! I think Elvis is one of the great lesbian heroes in American pop culture.
No doubt.
Later, she revealed that, I haven't had a boyfriend since. I'm an old school romantic. I don't like to just throw my heart around. Most girls don't bother with boys these days. They aren't worth it. It could be that her sour experience with that past relationship has caused her to be uptight and guarded. And then JJ Evans, right beneath that, goes, I've been contemplating this one as well. It's well written and informative, but kind of as a stretch at the same time.
Oh my god.
There's debate, man.
I don't understand how. How is the song encouraging any kind of educational debate whatsoever? There's nothing to go off here.
It's also confusing that you'd be like, no, I don't think so.
It's like everyone's caught in a house that's filling up with carbon monoxide. No one can think straight. Because the song is literally carbon monoxide. The next annotation for her other verse, I think that's something we need more than ever with all the events going on in the world. People want to feel safe and like everything's going to be okay. Fluffy Potatoes says, this annotation doesn't really explain the line. I would love it if Fluffy Potatoes would just do us a favor and go through every single Genius annotation we've ever talked about on this show and just say, this annotation doesn't really explain the line. And that's it. That is all of the annotation on this thing, because there is no other space for reflection on any of this. It is
right.
as straightforward and basic as it can possibly be. No room for critical thought. Just the way we like it.
I gotta be honest with you, though. I do agree with Fluffy Potatoes there. That annotation truly doesn't explain something. The lie.
That was the best annotation of the bunch. Thanks, Fluffy Potatoes.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's right. That line doesn't really indicate that at all, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Who's trolling the Baby Rexxaw page, like, looking for discourse?
Apparently Fluffy Potatoes is.
Man, he's the Socrates of our day.
No doubt.
Sing it, baby.
Oh my god. How is the song 2.5 minutes and excruciatingly long?
Just this cycle, this hell cycle that you're stuck in.
Oh my god. I can't understand how this would appeal to anyone.
Yeah.
Let alone have the most crossover appeal in the entire nation.
Do you ever consider, like, the people, though, that are... There's people who are huge fans of this. They're listening to it on the radio, right? Do you ever consider that people who, like, love this song, it's one of their favorites, they think about getting a tattoo of it, have only heard it on the radio in their car, and as a result have never actually heard the whole song, just, like, the main gist and, like, the loudest parts of it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe they didn't hear Florida Georgia Line in the back there during one of those moments, you know, in between the lines and the chorus going, just touch it. Like, maybe they didn't hear
sing
that
it, baby.
Part.
Sing it, baby. I hate it. I hate everything about this song.
Yeah.
This is the worst song of the year.
You think
Let's
so?
Give it the Ibiza right now.
I can't
imagine that anything is less intelligent or less interesting to listen to than this song. This is like absolute zero on the temperature scale as far as minimal effort, maximum money. Boy.
Right. I think describing a track as like carbon monoxide is the most savage thing ever said on the show.
Thank you. 21.
Yes. Thank you, 21.
We got 14 seconds left. Let's finish this thing. Nailed it.
Yeah.
I loathe that song more than I've loathed the song in a long time.
Wow. And we don't usually like these songs for the new listener.
Right.
Like, usually it goes...
That is worse than any Post Malone song that has ever been written.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a rough statement.
And I'm going to say it.
You're right. I probably would put a Post Malone track on before I put that on. I guess you're right.
Boof.
But there's something, isn't there? You know what it is? There's something insidious about it, because there's the chance that you could hear that, you know, as a pickup truck drives by and just think that's some country song, not knowing it's actually audible carbon monoxide.
Right. And it's killing you.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I have to agree. Right. I'm not taking it.
No chance. No chance. It's going on my worst songs of the year playlist, though, which I have generated. Because, you know, there's just too many bad songs every year. I got to make a list of things that I hate so I can remind myself when the end of the year comes.
This could potentially be the greatest debate for worst song of the year ever.
I mean, Justin Timberlake is really putting all of his money on the corner.
Right. And then there's Ye in the corner, like, I got a reggae song where I explain MAGA hats to you.
And did you forget about that Fall Out Boy album that came out this year?
I sure didn't.
No, I thought you were going to say you sure did, because everyone forgot about it.
It's still on my listen list. I'm, like, attempting to put myself through that.
Don't do it.
Okay.
All right. Well, I don't have a whole lot else from this week, Mark, as far as other things I've listened to. But I will tell you about a long-awaited album, which is Eat the Elephant by A Perfect Circle.
Yay!
The first album, first proper album, at least, from Maynard James Keenan's off group for 15 years. 13th Sep came out in 2003, so here they are with Eat the Elephant. It's something, man. They got an album cover that is going toe-to-toe with the worst of the year so far, and they took all of the punch out of their music. They just became this, like, ethereal group that's going to play a lot of really slow, lighthearted stuff. Something that's really bizarre. They pulled a song here called So Long and Thanks for All the Fish, which is about the end of the world. Of course, that famous line ripped from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy books. And the message is very doomsday, very much in line with Maynard's oeuvre on the whole, like something off of Enema. But the music backing it is so peculiar, and you gotta hear this thing to believe it. So here's a little bit from So Long and Thanks for All the Fish. Some major chord arpeggios in there. Very different for this band.
It's like a summery day.
Now the fists start pumping in the air.
Did Andrew WK join this group?
That's what I said! It sounds like an Andrew WK song that's been, like, you know, killed its tempo by half. Yeah. Listen to some of this stuff in here.
Oh, man.
Wow. It's weird.
Does the whole album sound like that?
No. Here's a more taste of what the rest of the album sounds like. It's a lot of slow piano ballads.
That sounds horrible, dude. Like, I am not a Tool guy, well established on the show. That sounds like a nightmare. The Tool guy's doing slow piano ballads and then a sad Andrew WK song?
To just put the bow on the box, they've got, you know, you've seen Spotify has, like, those little videos that'll play in the player whenever you listen to an album. You know, it's an awful, awful feature. But when Bjork dropped her album last year, she did a number of little small things with that, and it made sense. That was a very Bjork thing to do. Mm-hmm. But this album also has those, and they are literally the worst 3D animations I have ever seen. One is just that octopus floating in the air, wiggling its arms as you listen to these songs. Another is the guy on the cover, like, chasing the octopus around on the floor. It's awful.
Wait, which track has the octopus? I gotta see this for myself.
It might be Contrarian, the third track. See if that works for you.
Okay, well, you keep going because Spotify is slow right now.
Okay. There are moments that I like on this thing just because, you know, I'll see flashes of A Perfect Circle on there. And I do think that Maynard's voice sounds really good on this thing. One of the leadoff singles is the tune Talk Talk, which is maybe the closest to the old sound. Are you looking at it now?
I'm looking at the octopus.
Isn't that great? It's like Windows 98 octopus screensaver.
It's like a heart. It's like a human heart.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry.
It's okay. Here's a little bit from Talk Talk. Now that is much closer to the way A Perfect Circle used to sound, and he gets angry in the chorus here. It's a shadow of what it used to be, for sure. But there's a little bit of underpinning inside of that. And, you know, I'm always going to get excited anytime A Perfect Circle drops some new stuff. So I think this album is bad. even the things that I maybe pull from it are not great. It is a curious direction. And I would be equally frightened for the future of Tool if that was not also the product of three other people that are way more committed to creating a certain sound than just this one guy who seems to like be wanting to do his own thing more and more.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare, man.
It's gotten its fair share of negative press.
I don't think I had that on my listen list. Honestly, I think I'm going to take that off and still have Fall Out Boy on my listen list. Don't want to listen to that.
Okay. But it's a contender for worst album art of the year. I'll give it that.
It just, like, aged Marilyn Manson fan who found out Skrillex's async hairstyle too late.
All right.
That's my vibe for the album art guy.
Yeah, you're totally onto it. Do you have anything else?
I have just a
14,000 albums on the week.
I've got 53 albums. No. Actually, this is probably the most positive what I listened to I've had on this show.
Wow. The whole time?
Like, of the history of the show or all my clips?
Yeah, of the history of the show.
I got a lot of stuff on here I was, like, really excited about.
That's awesome.
So first, I'll start with what I think is potentially could be a contender for best dance album of the year. It's been pretty well critically acclaimed, so people may have heard of it, but it's Against All Odds 2012 to 2017.
That's Nicholas Yar, right?
Yes, exactly. Is it Yar?
I just assumed, since there were two A's and a J at the beginning, that it was Yar, not Jar, but I don't know.
I've been saying Jar. I like saying the word Jar. I don't get to say it enough. I'm not around Jars enough in my life to have that privilege, so I'm going to choose to misinterpret his name and continue to call him Nicholas Jar.
Yeah. Old Nicky Jar Jar.
Jar Jar. Old Jar Jar Binks.
Yep.
I actually was not a fan of Jar Jar Binks' last album, but it. Did you happen to listen to that last thing that he did?
What was it?
I'll pull it up.
I've gotten through Space's Only Noise That You Can Hear.
Was that from 2016?
No, it was like 2011, 2012 maybe.
Okay, well. Basically, the last album, I'll pull up the name here as I'm talking, but it was very much like, I don't want to say noise album, but a very much an ambient album. Sirens, it was called.
Okay.
From 2016. Very much a like ambient album that has some dance to it, but it was more it had this aesthetic of like Blade Runner meets like a low rent apartment building in a big city.
Cool.
Like this aesthetic of here's some real people. You literally hear people like living around the track, and like you hear children playing and stuff like that. Sort of tying in this like idyllic looking dystopia that we like in media, but then saying, well, we're kind of in that age now when people need help, which just doesn't look shiny, so we don't think about it. I actually ended up kind of bouncing off that album a little bit. I found it like aesthetically really cool, but like just not engaging generally. As cool as I wanted it to be, I didn't enjoy it. But it was a very challenging listen. So like imagine taking the lessons that you would learn from like a project like that or from the rest of his career and then making like a straight up house album. And you have some really interesting stuff. This is the opener from the album. Thank you. So it kind of continues on like that. I'll skip ahead a little bit so you can hear when the song kicks in. Yeah, right?
That's groovy.
That's some good stuff right there, Nicholas Jarre.
This has been on my list for a while. I got to give it a shot.
I know. It's got some really great ideas in it. I, as much as I like dance music, I always bounce off house music from any decade. I find it way too sample heavy, way too reliant on these like cheesy riffs that are just like, I don't know. I just bounce off it, but... there's something like mix up. He mixes up his sound so much. He takes samples from so many disparate places, and his music always feels like it has a point, like it's going somewhere, it's taking you somewhere.
Yeah. Cool.
There's one track on here that's actually really prescient right now to our conversation today, called "Such a Bad Way," that features a sample that I'm going to assume this track was from. 2017, 2016. Let me play this real quick. See if you're picking up what I'm putting down. That is not where the sample is. Hold on.
Okay. I was like, what is that? I feel
Oh, here we go. All right.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Just the
I
idea
am a god.
That, exactly. And just repeating "Such a Bad Way," that's the entire premise of the track, and then playing that Kanye sample, it felt, I don't know, felt appropriate.
Felt prescient.
That's great,
like,
though.
Nicholas Jarre also knew, like, Kanye's about to go cuckoo.
I mean, didn't we all... everyone was kind of, like, getting real worried about the guy in 2016. Like, it wasn't,
yeah,
you know, a hot take to come from that place, I don't think.
For sure.
All right. So that's great. Check out Free 2012-2017 by Against All Odds.
Sweet.
I listened to Albert Hammond Jr.'s Francis Trouble.
Was it good?
It was good.
Nice.
And I don't even like the Strokes that much.
You can't just drop that and then be like...
Well, let's be clear. Post Meet Me in the Bathroom Strokes, I don't care for at all. And okay. Albert Hammond Jr.
Post Room on Fire Strokes.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah.
Get the actual album title right. That's why you're not a fan.
When have I ever gotten
you read some book and now you're like, oh, I know all about the scene. I read the book about it. Meet Me in the Bathroom, you know.
Yeah. Is that my vibe?
Poser mark. You're a poser.
I'm afraid I am. Every element
of my losing your edge?
Is borrowed. I've lost my edge. I'm also like so bad at recall. I want to come up with another reference there. I just can't do it, man.
Sorry.
I'm a flawed person. Thank you for pointing it out.
Yeah. It's hard to explain.
I can't think of anything.
I won again. You owe me 4 pieces of gold for this game of riddles.
Here you go.
All right. Albert Hammond Jr.
Yes. Francis Trouble, which is named
great
after
title.
His twin who died in utero.
Oh, no.
Yes. It's true. And the album is more or less about having the sense that someone is missing through your life psychologically.
Mm. Wow.
That said, it is... extremely happy. It is a happy listen. It is filled with life. I didn't particularly enjoy anything I heard of his solo career up to this point. But I have to admit that Albert Hammond Jr. in his history of the Strokes, even in during the periods of the Strokes that I just straight up don't like, he has an ability to write riffs that if you compose the song around them in the right way, they'll always shine through. Here's the opening track of Francis Trouble, DVSL, or D versus L, I should say.
You
How do you feel about that track?
I like it. High energy.
Yep. High energy album. Solid rock album. I expected to bounce off it, but I found a few summer jams in there. So
great.
Hey, man.
That's exciting. You gotta give it a listen.
You should give it a listen. I listened to Freedom by Amen Dunes.
Okay.
Which has gotten like endless acclaim on like every publication.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one of the only things on my list here that I did listen through and kind of felt like, man, I'm not seeing this. I'm not seeing why this is so beloved an album. I'll just play a clip for context.
To see turn away to nightlife.
So it's got kind of like a, I don't know, it feels so typical to me. It just feels like any other indie band, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's getting a lot of praise for being extremely particular about his instrument choices and like very economic in his songwriting style. But like, I'm just so done with like, here's a really forced vocal style over top of like a sad indie riff. And we're just going to sit in that space for 6 minutes. Like, I'm just done with that. I don't, however much you innovate in that space, I'm just kind of over it, you know?
Right. That makes sense.
I re-listened to the classic Fugazi album, Repeater.
Cool.
It's amazing. It's one of the best punk albums ever written, no question. I don't have much to say about it other than the track Styrofoam is incredible.
Yeah. You say Fugazi or Fugazi?
Fugazi.
Okay. It's not Fugazi?
Do you call it Fugazi?
The Fugazi.
So you say Nicholas Yar and Fugazi.
I'm gonna look that up. I've heard people pronounce it both ways, I think.
I have too, but I'm sticking with Fugazi. I'm sure that's right. Do you say GIF or GIF?
Fugazi.
What was that?
Fugazi.
Who's that small Italian man you have in your cell phone?
Fugazi. Fugazi. Fugazi.
Yeah, I guess it's Fugazi.
For a second there, I thought that was the new Kanye beat.
Yeah, I just want to say for a minute that Donald Trump isn't as dumb as people think he is, okay? Because guess what? Black people were just slaves because it was their own fault. Yeah.
Fugazi.
Hang on, I gotta take this call real quick.
Oh God, I don't want to listen to Kanye West take a call ever again.
A whole album of nothing but him answering his phone.
Spoken word album. Listen to this guitar riff and tell me if it's not the greatest riff ever. That I love that so much.
That's pretty great.
Just like that sense of like the engine revving up.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing to say about it. It's amazing. You should listen to it. I have what I believe is one of the greatest rap albums this year so far.
Okay.
It is Care for Me by Saba.
Okay.
Or is it Saba? Now you have me questioning.
No, I have no idea.
Okay. Well, there is a verse in this album, in Care For Me, on the track Gray, that is like this searing indictment on what mass culture expects rap artists to do and how it always in some way like suppresses the direction of the art.
Okay.
I want to play that for you because I think it's actually pretty incredible.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, here we go.
Sometimes I think about the pressures of an artist and what it takes to get called a success, even with no college. We barely even considered. Don't label me with them niggas. Infatuation with plastic. I wanted it to be realer. First they wanted the hip hop, and then they wanted gorilla, and then they wanted drug dealer, and then they wanted a dancer. Now they want a drug addict. Infatuation with plastic. White girl wanna be sister. Driver wanna be Walker, and Walker wanna be sitter. The best song was probably on the B side. Don't be surprised when the label denied the song.
How much of that were you able to catch?
A bunch. That's great.
Okay. Never sure how clear that's coming through the microphone.
It's got some like Kendrick conversational stuff there, some like jazz production going on in the background. That's rad.
Yeah, generally the album's like pretty dancey with the jazz influence. But that is so true though. Like what he has to say there, I find completely accurate. Like even if you look at like when he mentions then they wanted gorilla, like when you think about an artist like Public Enemy, what they ended up becoming, which was the kind of artist that, like, not to endlessly quote from the book Meet Me in the Bathroom, but I think about the story the Strokes told, where they were drinking 40s because that's what they saw the NWA do, and like thinking about all the Public Enemy shirts that like kids would wear, having no idea what was being said in the music, like a lot of like white suburban kids going to Hot Topic buying Public Enemy t-shirts.
Yeah.
Just how that message is just lost and then forced into a spot where it no longer means anything. It's just, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. He has a track on this thing called Fighter, which is one of the like calmer, more like experiential songs from a memory where he got in a fight and then asked for help from, I think it was his brother.
Mm-hmm.
God, we scrap again. Jacob jumped in. I'm handicapped. Manny watched from across the street. Then he ran up and hopped on me. 3-on-1, they teaming up. But me, I never think to run. They circling around. Got me surrounded like police or something. So it's bad enough they already jumping me. Then I see Sale coming. I'm praying, please don't fuck with me. It's not fair. And I'll
keep playing that clip if I'm not stopped there. It's so good.
Yeah. It's got some Kendrick vibes to it for sure.
I don't know. I feel like he's Seb is so much more interpersonal though. Like Kendrick is so much speaks outside of himself. Like he goes into these huge metaphors that speak to the entirety of American culture. Whereas I feel like Seb is like
just telling stories.
You're like with him. Like you feel the humanity in him in a way that I don't think Kendrick always revels in. Like Kendrick is so intellectual first.
Sure. But I think Kendrick can do that. Like think of a track like Duckworth off of Damn. You know, like that's just a storytelling track. You know, like he can certainly do that.
That's not to say that he never does it, but I don't think that's his direction. Yeah. And I think that's what makes this album special for me. That's why, like, I would have listened to more albums this week, but I wanted to keep listening to this. Is because this year at least, I don't think I've heard an artist be this vulnerable and smart at the same time. It's really incredible. One more time, that's Care For Me.
Saba.
It's good. It's good, man. It's good.
Cool.
All right. I'll speed through a couple more. I listened to Blisters in the Pit of My Heart by Martha, which is kind of a modern pop-punk album.
Did you say Martha?
Yeah, Martha.
Martha.
Yeah, my mom. What's your mom's name?
Oh, my God. My mom's name.
Uh-huh.
Is...
What's your mom's name?
Martha.
What? What was your...
We solved it.
Oh, we should fight... We should not fight, rather.
Okay.
I lost my stick in the pool. My girlfriend's trying to get it. We should find her.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty good album. I enjoyed it. It's very talky. I don't know how you feel about albums that are like, they've got great riffs, but there's just a lot of words in them. Sometimes that's a little exhausting for me.
Agreed.
I listened to Within and Without by Washed Out, which I feel like Washed Out is such an important chill wave band. Maybe the most important. Like, I feel like the genre exploded because they did the theme song to Portlandia, you know? Like,
oh, right, right, right.
That elevated it beyond, here's this weird internet subgenre.
So good.
That's not a good impression.
Okay. Bling. Is that better?
It's even worse. So I enjoyed it a lot. I'd never actually listened to the full album. It's very good. I listened to all of the Carpenter Brut trilogy.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm going to see him tomorrow. There's, and also I listened to another dark wave, like 80s heavy metal synth album by Perturbator, but it didn't do it for me as much. I think Carpenter Brut is actually like the guy, like that whole sound, like in the way that like, that Borgore track kind of summed up all of dubstep for me. Decisions by Borgore kind of is like, here's all dubstep in one song in one moment. The genre can stop now. I feel like that's kind of Carpenter Brut. All of his stuff is amazing. Tell me this isn't the most promising intro to a song you've heard all day.
Yes.
What do you think?
Yas.
All right, let me keep going. Like, right away.
Yeah.
Right away, I'm ready to listen to the rest of that song. It's called Wake Up the President.
Oh. That's rad.
Yeah. Here's where it goes. Oh, man, I love it so much.
That's like if DeLorean Dynamite was played on a corrupted Nintendo 64.
Oh, you just said the best sentence. You just... Oh, man.
That's why you love it so much.
That's everything I've ever wanted in one sentence.
Two things combined. You didn't even know it could be combined.
Best track on the whole trilogy. And by trilogy, he released three EPs that were just numbered, and then he put them all in one thing called Trilogy. It's the track Roller Mobster, which... Oh my god, Roller Mobster, man. Roller Mobster! I'm just gonna skip right to the drop. Oh,
heck yeah, dude.
So good. So good. And then like halfway through, like during the breakdown, it just forgets itself and just becomes a song from an 80s action film.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Everything about it. I would marry it.
What's it called?
The album is called Trilogy. The artist is called Carpenter Brut.
Carpenter Butt?
Carpenter Brut.
Did I make this joke last week?
You made this exact joke just 1 week ago.
Nice. All right. That sounds rad.
Yes. I have two more. Now Only by Mount Eerie. Listen to that.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It's so fascinating, man.
Yeah.
Mount Eerie, of course, last year released probably the most devastating album of the decade about the passing of his wife.
More devastating than Benji?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, my God.
like, let's have a devastating fight.
Yeah.
That or Carrie and Lowell. Like, what went?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the other one you got to put in there, right?
Yeah.
Which one's made you cry more?
Florida-Georgia Line.
Oh, R.I.P.
Yeah, rip. So what's interesting, about, what was it called? Real Death from last year?
No, A Crow Looked at Me.
Crow Looked at Me. Why am I terrible at this, man?
Well, that's the single. That's the
yeah,
lead off.
I know,
song.
But I should have known that. Crow Looked at Me. I fell off it a little bit because it's so arrhythmic at times. It's just a guitar and him speaking.
And heavy.
And heavy, yes. Well, that's not why I fell off it, though. I fell off it because it was arrhythmic. Were you listening?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you sure?
Wait, what?
Great, yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we are again. Here we are again with Charlie. So Now Only is interesting because it actually is, it's so much more musical. Like, there's percussion in it, which feels revelatory. And it's about the same subject. It is like the latter part of a grieving period that very rarely gets discussed in music. Like, whenever you have come to grips with this person not being there, but it's just this daily, like, dull pain that this person is gone. So it's still horrifying. Like, you still listen to it and you just cry and cry. Here's the track Now Only. So it starts there, but it actually moves in a way the last album didn't.
People just living their lives get erased for no reason, with the rest of us watching from the side. And some people have to survive and find a way to feel lucky to still be alive, to sleep through the night. Down all the details.
We'll let the true darkness like ring out sometime else, but it's beautiful. It's a really beautiful album.
Sweet. It's pretty short, right? Just an EP?
Is it an EP? I feel like it's like 40 minutes though.
Yeah, maybe.
Because like two of the tracks are like 10 minutes. I think it's a full. Is that not considered a full album?
I don't know. I think it's up to the artist to decide.
I disagree. No one artist should have all that power. The last track I have, the last album I have, rather, is I Love You Like a Brother by Alex Leahy, who is a pop punk artist, released this album last year. I believe she's Australian, but it's primarily a breakup album, despite what the album title is. And I've been kind of listening to her nonstop. Like, I'm questioning my own reasons why I have the taste that I do. Because she uses all of the production in rock music that I hate, that I find myself, like, in love with here. And I'm trying to deduce why that is. Like, all of the overproduced gang vocals of, like, any rock artist that's in the Billboard now, like that last Blink album, like Fall Out Boy, that last Panic at the Disco album, like it's there, but she just seems smarter and funnier, and I end up liking the stuff I usually hate as a result. So here's the track Every Day's the Weekend, and I'll play some of this stuff I'm talking about with the production.
Great title.
Is it?
Every day is the weekend.
You can shut your mouth. So, like, I usually hate that stuff, right? But
right.
Like, the lyrics, that I don't know. It's, like, such a banger. Like, I listen to this track over and over in the car.
Hey, sometimes you can't deny it. If it hits you in the right spot, you got to go with it.
Yes. And I think it's partially because it's really funny. There's a track on here called Perth Traumatic Stress Disorder, which is about resenting a place your ex showed you because you still actually like it, but it reminds you of them. So you have to like begrudgingly accept, like, I still like this stuff. I haven't been taking care of myself, which is about getting a beer belly after a breakup. Like, there's so much good stuff on this album lyrically. She's like a the hottest indie artist of all time that everybody loved 2 years ago. She's releasing an album this year. That lady we talked about, The Sims, and then opening track. What's her name? You have any idea what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Is that the vaguest description I've ever said?
It's pretty close.
Okay. I can't remember her name.
Well, crap.
Well, either way, okay. It's a great album. And I liked it.
Sweet.
End of story. That's my whole list.
That's cool.
Yes, it's very cool. I'm very cool.
All right. Well, let's take a look to the week ahead, Mark, and see what else is worth talking about here. Well, it's my pick, is it not?
It is.
Oh, geez. What is good out there in the world right now? What do you want to listen to?
I mean, it's your pick, man. It's your call. If you don't pick, I will pick Lil Xan.
Oh, no. I'm not going to let you do that to me.
What do you got to pick something?
All right. Well, let me take a closer look.
Well, you do that.
No, I got it. I got it. Okay. I got it. J. Cole. I want to listen to that J. Cole album.
Me too.
K.O.D.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about J. Cole's K.O.D. next week on the show.
Yeah. I'm down. I'm ready to do that. Let's do it.
The Billboard has spoken. Drake is still kicking it at 1 and 2. But we got a new entry at slot number 3. Mark, I'm so excited.
Who is it?
Well, you should know that there is one artist in the world that we have a comprehensive history of. We've tried to do a comprehensive history of Tool. We haven't gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried to do System and never finished that.
Right.
And so there is one artist, as you know, that we have covered from start to finish.
Ariana Grande.
And we will be continuing that trend next week. Ariana Grande's new single, No Tears Left to Cry, is on slot 3 on the Billboard.
Awesome. I love Ariana Grande.
Yeah, we've listened to every single one of her songs.
I know her entire career, start to finish.
Wow. We are the foremost experts on Ariana Grande.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
All right.
Maybe it's a Christmas song.
It's at least a potential possibility. I think it's a good pair, J. Cole and Ariana Grande. That seems to fit. At least more than it usually does for us here.
Sure. It'll be a fun talk. I may be still trying to figure out who this lady was.
Okay. Let me know if you figure it out.
Okay.
In the meantime, you can keep up with us on the internet. Find us on Facebook or on our Podomatic page. We sure do appreciate your comments and your reviews. Be sure to subscribe to the show. We're coming to you every single week here with the latest in the music scene. And we'll keep you updated as we head into summertime. Mark, summer's almost here.
I hate summertime.
What do you hate about it?
I can't say May the 1st be with you anymore, so it's a waste.
I'm telling you, you can still say May the June be with you.
All right, I'll give it a shot. Maybe I'll come around on it.
All right.
What is this woman's name?
Until next time, play that outro music. Chambean, pero no jalan.
You know, she has a song, Nobody Cares If You Want to Go Out or Not. What's her name? Courtney Barnett. Oh my God.